Welcome back to the AI Daily Show. Today, we're diving into a fascinating discussion from Harvard Business Review's Women at Work podcast about how women are leveraging generative AI in their careers. It's a really interesting perspective on how this technology can be empowering.
Absolutely. The podcast highlights a shift from skepticism to enthusiasm as these women share their experiences with Gen AI. What struck me most was the emphasis on mental and emotional relief. They're using it to combat burnout, overcome task paralysis, and even short-circuit perfectionism. It's not just about efficiency, it's about reclaiming agency.
It's a powerful point. One guest, Andrea, a self-described middle manager, talks about using Gen AI to right-size her mental effort, delegating the less important tasks so she can focus on what truly matters. This resonates with the constant struggle to prioritize and manage the never-ending to-do list.
And it's not just managers. Jessica, an executive assistant, uses Gen AI to break down complex projects, anticipating potential roadblocks and developing action plans. She's even codifying these processes into bots and sharing them with her network, demonstrating the collaborative potential of this technology.
That's a key takeaway. Many of these women are not only using Gen AI for personal gain, but also to empower their colleagues and communities. Pam, a marketing leader, uses it as a thought partner, generating new ideas and pushing her creative boundaries. It's a reminder that Gen AI can be a powerful tool for innovation, not just automation.
And then there's Julie, who built an entire website using Gen AI, despite having no coding experience. She created a virtual team of software engineers, designers, and planners, effectively outsourcing the technical aspects of her project. It's a glimpse into the future of work, where specialized skills become more accessible and individuals can take on projects they never thought possible.
But this also raises some important questions about the future of work itself. If we can outsource complex tasks to AI, what does that mean for human expertise and collaboration? Will we lose something valuable in the pursuit of efficiency?
The podcast touches on this tension. While there's excitement about the possibilities, there's also a recognition of the potential downsides. The key, it seems, is to find the right balance, using Gen AI to augment our abilities, not replace them entirely.
And learning to ask the right questions, both of the AI and ourselves. It's about using Gen AI not just as a tool for execution, but as a partner in critical thinking and problem solving.
Precisely. And as Amy Gallo, one of the podcast hosts, points out, it's about starting small, experimenting, and finding ways to integrate Gen AI into our existing workflows. It's a journey of discovery, and these women are leading the way.
So, we've been talking about generative AI's impact on various industries. But let's shift gears and dive into the world of fintech. Specifically, the fascinating insights we can glean from the pitch decks that have helped startups raise millions.
Absolutely. These decks offer a rare glimpse into how founders are selling their vision, particularly in a competitive landscape like fintech. We're seeing everything from AI-powered solutions for investment banks to innovative approaches to digital banking and financial access.
It's striking how diverse the applications are. We have BondClick streamlining corporate bond pricing, Proper Finance tackling transaction data management, and Highnote empowering merchants with their own digital cards, each addressing a distinct pain point.
And the funding amounts are equally diverse, ranging from millions to hundreds of millions. It highlights the varying levels of investor confidence and the perceived market potential of these solutions.
One interesting trend is the focus on automation. Companies like Worksum and Decimal are automating administrative burdens and accounting operations, respectively. It speaks to the desire for efficiency and cost savings in these areas.
And then there's the social impact angle. Now, co-founded by Stacey Abrams, aims to solve capital access issues for bootstrapped businesses, while Flyfin uses AI to simplify tax preparation for freelancers. These ventures demonstrate how fintech can be a force for good.
It's a reminder that fintech isn't just about disrupting traditional finance. It's about creating new opportunities and empowering individuals and businesses. The pitch decks reveal this multifaceted nature of the industry.
Indeed. And looking at these decks, we can see the key elements that resonate with investors. A clear problem statement, a compelling solution, a strong team, and a viable business model. It's a valuable lesson for any aspiring entrepreneur.
Shifting gears, Sam Altman's recent comments on the AI landscape are quite intriguing. He believes the current AI boom presents an unprecedented opportunity for startups, comparing it to the rise of the internet and mobile.
It's a bold claim, but given OpenAI's position at the forefront of this revolution, his perspective carries weight. His gratitude towards Elon Musk for early funding, despite their current contentious relationship, adds another layer to the story. It underscores the complex dynamics within the AI field.
Definitely. Musk's accusations of OpenAI being evil and his lawsuit create a fascinating backdrop to Altman's optimism. It speaks to the high stakes involved and the potential disruption AI represents to existing power structures.
And Altman's prediction of companies making billions with under 100 employees, powered by AI, paints a radical picture of the future of work. It challenges traditional notions of company size and profitability.
It's almost like a return to the early days of the internet, where small teams could disrupt entire industries. The combination of human ingenuity and massive computing power through GPUs could be a game changer.
Absolutely. However, Altman's emphasis on building enduring value is crucial. The hype around AI is undeniable, but sustainable success requires more than just riding the wave. It requires solving real problems and creating lasting solutions.
So, Jerry Garcia's voice is now powered by AI, reading anything you want on the 11 Labs app. It's the latest example of a celebrity estate leveraging AI, following Judy Garland, James Dean, and others. What are your thoughts on this trend, especially with a musician as iconic as Jerry Garcia?
It's fascinating and a bit unsettling. On one hand, it democratizes access to these iconic figures. Imagine having Jerry Garcia read you the Dharma Bums or your own Grateful Dead fan fiction. It's a new form of engagement, almost like a personalized performance. But it also raises questions about authenticity, artistic integrity, and the commercialization of legacy.
Garcia's daughter mentions his embrace of technology, which adds an interesting angle. It's not entirely out of character, given his experimentation with MIDI guitars and digital art. But is it truly in line with his artistic spirit, or is it just a clever marketing ploy?
That's the key question. It walks a fine line between homage and exploitation. The involvement of the Jerry Garcia Foundation suggests a degree of oversight and respect for his legacy, but the potential for misuse is undeniable. Imagine AI-generated Jerry Garcia endorsing products he'd never have touched in his lifetime. That's where things get ethically murky.
It's a slippery slope. Where do we draw the line between preserving a legacy and profiting from a digital ghost? And what does it mean for the future of art and creativity when anyone's voice can be resurrected and manipulated?
It's a conversation we need to have. AI is evolving rapidly, and the legal and ethical frameworks are struggling to keep up. The technology itself is neutral, but its application can be deeply problematic. We need to ensure that these digital resurrections are handled with respect, integrity, and a clear understanding of the implications.
So, shifting gears to the technical side of AI, a recent report suggests OpenAI's next big model, Orion, isn't showing the same dramatic improvements as its predecessors. This raises questions about the so-called scaling laws of AI. Are we hitting a wall?
It's a crucial question, and the implications are huge for the entire industry. The idea behind scaling laws is that simply throwing more data and compute power at a model will automatically lead to better performance. But this report suggests that might not be the whole story. We might be reaching a point of diminishing returns.
The article mentions two key constraints: data and compute power. It seems the readily available high-quality data is dwindling, and even the massive compute resources of companies like OpenAI are finite.
Exactly. They've scraped the internet clean, and generating synthetic data isn't a perfect solution. Plus, the cost of training these models is astronomical. Even if OpenAI throws another $100 million at Orion, there's no guarantee of a significant leap in performance.
Some experts, like Gary Marcus, have been warning about this for a while. He argues that the current AI hype cycle is built on shaky foundations and that we're destined for a plateau.
I think it's too early to declare the end of AI progress. There are other avenues to explore, like improving the inference process, as OpenAI did with their O1 model. But this report is a reality check. We need to be more realistic about the limitations of scaling laws and explore alternative approaches to AI development.
It's a fascinating inflection point. Will we see a shift in focus from brute force scaling to more nuanced, efficient techniques? Or will the industry double down on its bets, hoping for a breakthrough? Only time will tell. Shifting gears, let's talk about AI's potential in medicine. A recent article raises some critical questions about separating hype from reality, highlighting past failures like Meissen and Watson, while examining the feasibility of ambitious predictions.
It's a crucial discussion. While AI holds immense promise, we need to be grounded in scientific principles and understand the complexities of human biology and behavior. The article's three-question framework is a great starting point. Can AI accelerate existing scientific solutions? Can AI find the needle in the haystack? Can AI overcome human limitations?
The author uses AlphaFold 2's success in predicting protein structures as an example where AI accelerated a known scientific process. It's a compelling case for AI's power to expedite research.
Absolutely. But the article also points out that while AI excels at finding singular answers in vast datasets, it struggles with multifactorial problems like most genetic disorders, which are influenced by numerous genes and environmental factors.
That distinction between single gene and multifactorial diseases is crucial. While CRISPR offers potential for single gene disorders, editing multiple genes simultaneously presents significant risks.
Precisely. And then there's the human element. Even with perfect data and AI-driven recommendations, human behavior and biological limitations pose significant challenges to achieving outcomes like doubling lifespan.
The article argues that AI can't force patients to adhere to medical advice or prevent the natural aging process. It's a sobering reminder that technology, however advanced, operates within the constraints of human biology and behavior.
It's a valuable perspective. We need to be realistic about what AI can and cannot achieve in medicine. While AI can undoubtedly accelerate research and provide valuable insights, it's not a panacea for all medical challenges.
Picking up from our discussion on AI's limitations, let's shift gears to how we can maximize its potential, specifically with ChatGPT. This article highlights five prompts that can significantly enhance its output.
It addresses a common frustration, getting generic robotic text from ChatGPT. The article suggests that many users give up too quickly, not realizing the power of targeted follow-up prompts.
Exactly. The prompts focus on refining tone, tightening language, adding concrete examples, structuring for readability, and sharpening hooks and transitions. It's a practical guide to transforming mediocre drafts into compelling content.
I'm particularly intrigued by the prompt about matching brand voice. It recognizes that generic AI writing kills engagement. Tailoring the language to a specific style is crucial for resonating with an audience.
And the emphasis on adding concrete examples is key. Abstract concepts can be difficult to grasp. Illustrating points with relevant scenarios makes the content more actionable and relatable.
The prompt about restructuring for easy reading is also essential. In today's fast-paced world, content needs to be scannable. Breaking down long paragraphs, adding bullet points, and using subheadings can significantly improve readability.
These prompts seem like valuable tools for anyone using ChatGPT for content creation. They offer a structured approach to refining and polishing AI-generated text.
Absolutely. It's about leveraging AI's strengths while mitigating its weaknesses. By using these prompts strategically, we can unlock ChatGPT's true potential and create more engaging and effective content.
Let's shift gears and discuss Headspace's new AI companion, Ebb. It's designed to provide personalized support through a chatbot, focusing on emotional processing and gratitude.
It's interesting how Headspace, known for meditation and mindfulness, is integrating AI. Ebb seems to act as a bridge between their existing content and a more interactive, personalized experience.
The author, Carly Quellman, mentions using Ebb alongside other AI tools like ChatGPT and Claude. She highlights Ebb's action-oriented approach, contrasting it with the more open-ended conversations of other platforms.
That's a key distinction. While other AI might help explore thoughts, Ebb seems geared towards prompting action, like suggesting a visualization exercise from the Headspace library. It's about moving from rumination to practical steps.
The ethical considerations around AI and mental health are also addressed. EBS developers emphasize its limitations, providing crisis resources when needed, and implementing strict privacy protocols.
The fact that EBS doesn't continuously learn from individual user data is notable. It addresses potential privacy concerns while still allowing for overall improvement based on aggregated, anonymized data.
It'll be interesting to see how EBS evolves. The developers hint at future personalization, which raises questions about the balance between individual tailoring and data privacy. It's a complex landscape to navigate.
Definitely. EBS integration with Headspace's existing resources could be a valuable addition to traditional mental health support, but it's crucial to maintain clear boundaries and ethical guidelines as AI's role in this space expands.
Shifting gears from mental wellness, let's dive into the world of video content creation. Vidnoz AI is promising a revolution in how we produce videos, using AI avatars, voiceovers, and a streamlined editing process. What's your take on this?
It's addressing a real need. High-quality video production can be resource-intensive, requiring specialized skills and software. Vidnoz AI's approach democratizes the process, making it accessible to a wider audience.
The platform's emphasis on pre-designed templates and a vast library of avatars and voices seems particularly compelling. It simplifies the creative process, allowing users to focus on their message rather than the technical complexities.
The Avatar Light feature, allowing users to create AI twins of themselves, is an interesting twist. It bridges the gap between personalized content and the desire for off-screen presence.
However, the reliance on pre-built elements could also be a limitation. How much creative freedom does Vidnoz AI truly offer? Can users go beyond the provided templates and assets to create truly unique content?
That's a valid point. The balance between ease of use and creative control will be key to its success. The platform's collaborative features, allowing teams to work together on projects, could be a significant advantage in professional settings.
The pricing model, based on minutes of generated video, also raises questions. It could be cost-effective for shorter content, but potentially prohibitive for longer-form videos. It'll be interesting to see how this impacts user adoption.
Ultimately, Vidnoz AI's value proposition hinges on its ability to deliver high-quality video content efficiently. The market is competitive, and users will judge it based on the final product, not just the promise of simplified creation.
Moving beyond video creation, the smartphone industry is also witnessing a surge in AI integration. What are your thoughts on the different approaches by Apple, Samsung, Google, and Huawei?
It's fascinating how each company is carving its own niche. Apple's focus on privacy with on-device processing is a strong differentiator, especially for security-conscious users.
Samsung's dedicated AI cores in the Exynos chipset seem promising for performance, particularly in tasks like scene optimization and resource management.
Google's Pixel, leveraging their Tensor chip and Gemini chatbot, excels in photography and real-time communication features. The Magic Eraser is a game-changer for casual photographers.
And Huawei's practical approach with features like Image Expand and Sound Repair under Harmony Intelligence addresses everyday user needs.
The key takeaway is that AI is no longer a mere marketing buzzword. It's driving real innovation and offering consumers genuine choice based on their priorities.
Moving beyond chipsets, Google's doubling down on AI's educational potential with LearnAbout. It seems they're aiming for more than just quick answers, like we see with Gemini and ChatGPT.
Exactly. It's a fascinating shift. While Gemini provides information, LearnAbout focuses on knowledge construction, leveraging visual aids and interactive elements. Think of it as a tutor, not just a search engine.
The comparison on the size of the universe query highlights this. Gemini offers facts and links, while LearnAbout provides context, vocabulary building, and further exploration prompts. It's a different approach to information delivery.
It reminds me of the evolution from encyclopedias to interactive learning platforms. The Why It Matters and Build Your Vocab sections suggest a pedagogical framework behind the AI. This could be transformative for online learning.
And the pizza glue example, while humorous, demonstrates its ability to handle nonsensical queries while still providing a learning opportunity. Imagine the potential for addressing misconceptions in various fields.
Indeed, this move by Google signifies a broader trend in AI, moving from information retrieval to knowledge assimilation. It's not just about finding answers, but understanding them.
We just saw Google's shift towards knowledge assimilation with LearnAbout. Now, Apple's iOS 18.2 beta reveals a similar ambition, but with a distinctly Apple approach.
Absolutely. Apple's suite of AI tools, from Genmoji to Image Playground and the ChatGPT integration, points towards a future where AI is deeply woven into the fabric of our digital interactions.
Image Playground and the related image wand within Notes feel like a direct response to Google's generative AI capabilities, but Apple's focus on integration with messaging and existing apps is a key differentiator.
It's about enhancing existing workflows, not creating separate experiences. The ability to generate images based on context from messages or notes is brilliant. It streamlines creative expression.
Genmoji, personalized emojis, seem like a fun, albeit less revolutionary, addition. But the underlying tech, drawing inspiration from your photos, is quite sophisticated.
It taps into the emotional aspect of communication, allowing for a deeper level of personalization. And the ChatGPT integration with Siri is a game changer.
Definitely. It addresses Siri's limitations head-on, providing access to a more powerful language model for complex queries. The emphasis on user approval and privacy is also noteworthy.
Visual intelligence on iPhone 16 takes this further, bringing real-world object recognition and contextual information to the forefront. Imagine pointing your phone at a landmark and instantly getting its history.
It's like having a personal AI assistant constantly analyzing your surroundings. And the enhancements to writing tools, moving beyond simple tone adjustments to more nuanced content changes, are impressive.
It's clear Apple isn't just playing catch-up. They're building a comprehensive AI ecosystem, tightly integrated with their hardware and software. This beta release is a glimpse into a future where AI is seamlessly integrated into our daily lives.
Meta's decision to grant military access to its Llama AI models raises some serious questions. It seems to contradict their own usage policy, sparking a debate about the ethics of AI in defense and the nature of open source.
Exactly. While Meta claims these uses are responsible and ethical, the lack of transparency around Llama's training data and user data usage is concerning, especially given the potential for this data to be used in military applications.
The open source label itself seems a bit misleading. Llama doesn't fully adhere to the open source initiative's four freedoms, particularly regarding commercial use and data transparency.
This situation highlights a growing tension between the ideals of open source and the potential for misuse. The collaborative nature of open source, while beneficial for innovation, also creates vulnerabilities. The protestware phenomenon following the Ukraine invasion is a prime example.
And how does this impact everyday users of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, platforms that utilize Llama? Are they unknowingly contributing to military programs?
That's the ethical dilemma. The lack of clear opt-out options and transparency puts users in a difficult position. They might be inadvertently supporting applications they disagree with. It also raises questions about data security and the potential for manipulation of these open source models.
This move by Meta, along with similar partnerships by other tech companies, signifies a blurring of lines between the tech industry and the military. It necessitates a broader conversation about the ethical implications of AI and the responsibility of developers to ensure its safe and responsible use. Let's delve into Salesforce's latest venture, Agentforce. It's essentially a platform allowing companies to build their own AI agents to automate tasks, a significant evolution from their earlier Einstein AI.
It's a natural progression, given the advancements in generative AI. Agentforce leverages these capabilities to offer more sophisticated agents capable of handling complex tasks, like generating reports and summarizing conversations, with greater autonomy.
The React prompting is particularly interesting, enabling agents to break down problems and evaluate their own solutions. It's reminiscent of OpenAI's chain of thought prompting, suggesting a convergence towards more reasoned AI agents.
And the integration with third-party LLMs offers flexibility, though it also raises concerns about data security. Salesforce's data retention policy and safeguards are crucial here, but the risks remain. This open ecosystem approach is a double-edged sword.
Indeed. Salesforce's focus on client success and adoption rates will be key indicators of Agentforce's viability. The platform's potential to revolutionize customer service and internal operations is undeniable. We'll be watching closely to see how this unfolds. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening.